Hi, welcome to WeSchool once again. After going through evolution of insurance from the ancient times till date, now we are entering into chapter number 2. In this chapter, we'll understand the basic concepts of insurance. The main objective of this chapter is to understand not only the basic concepts, but also the ideas of insurance, which will help you to gain knowledge. You need to become a professional in insurance and risk management. Friends, as we had referred the term yogakshema in the previous chapter, we are going to refer that word once again in this chapter. We have seen yogakshema is actually found in Rig Veda. And this concept means well-being, prosperity, and security of people. This very concept of well-being, prosperity, and security of people has been extended through various concepts and ideas, which has been formally named as insurance. We had seen how the joint family system actually is a sort of insurance concept implied in our civilization. So, with this basic idea in our mind, we will understand more concepts and ideas about insurance. The business of insurance is related to the protection of economic values of asset. In terms of insurance, whether it is a life or whether it is a non-life, we will mean an asset which has a value. And when it say value, we say it's an economic value. Insurance helps us to reduce the adverse economic effects of the situation, as well as helps us to compensate for the economic loss, so that the person who suffers the loss is placed in the situation as if it was having that asset before. So his activity doesn't stop, his livelihood doesn't stop, he gets some sort of compensation which will fill up the loss. One needs to know the basic concepts and ideas about insurance in order to safeguard insurance against the perils, hazards, and the risk. So these new terms, this new terminology, especially what is a peril, what is a hazard, what are the risk, what are the different types of risk, what are the different types of risk management, we'll have to learn, and then we can master insurance business. We can become a professional insurance person. So first, let us understand the meaning of insurance. If we have to make a simple meaning of insurance, we can say it's an agreement. When we say agreement, there are two parties. One is the insurance company, another is the insured. So this insurance company and insured, they come together, they have a mutual concept to fulfill certain things. From the insured point of view, insured promises to pay a premium. From the insurance company point of view, whenever there is a loss, whenever there is some asset damage, insurance company promises to compensate for the loss and thus enabling protection against any peril or hazard. As for the agreement, the insurance company promises to the insured the payment of a certain money, that is what we call it as a sum assured, that is clearly captured in the insurance policy, and this becomes applicable only and only a loss happens during the existence of the contract. That is only when you pay the premium, your policy would be live. If you don't pay your premium, the policy would lapse, the insurance company won't be liable to make good the loss. So this is the basic meaning of insurance. It's a contract between the insured and the insurance company. Both of them have to do their part, and only then the contract continues. Especially when we talk about life insurance, it can be a long-term contract. When we talk about general insurance, most of the general insurance contracts are for a year, which can be renewed after the year. Payment of premium by the insured to the insurance company is one of the prominent terms and conditions of such an agreement, because any contract should have a consideration without consideration, a contract would be void, and the consideration in terms of the insurance contract is the premium paid by the insurer to the insurance company. The agreement between the insurance company and the insurer is in the form of the insurance policy. So the policy that is issued from the insurance company to the insurer becomes a substantial evidence of establishing a contract of insurance between the insurance company and the insured. Now, after understanding the simple meaning of insurance, if we have to define insurance, we can take help of Wikipedia, wherein insurance is defined as a means of protection from the financial loss. It's a form of risk management, primarily used to hedge against the risk of a contingent or uncertain loss. So when we mean contingent or uncertain, we are not sure any activity which might cause a loss, and especially uncertain events are insured by the insurance company. Now let us look at what are the main elements of insurance. The first and the foremost essential element of insurance is the existence of an asset from which the insured derives an economic value. So asset and value is the most important primary pillar of an insurance contract. The second most essential element of insurance is the possibility of loss due to the exposure to a certain event that can cause the loss. Now here, when we talk about insurable events, it needs to be very clear what type of insurable events are covered. Some may be covered, some may not be covered. And only if the loss happens because of such insured events, then only the insurance company would be liable to make good the loss. When we talk in terms of assets, we can easily categorize the assets into two types, the tangible assets and the intangible assets. Tangible assets are all physical things that can be seen, that can be touched. And when we talk, you have to give an example. The best examples can be real estate or landed properties, personal property, mobile property. When we talk about intangible assets, this is something we cannot touch, but we can feel. And end user's good name and credentials in the market or the goodwill of the company can be the best example of intangible assets. Now friends, we are going to understand a very big concept, basis on which the entire insurance, especially life insurance, runs. And this credit goes to Dr. Solomon Stephen Huebner. This great authority which originated the concept of human life value. What was happening was, when we talk about an economic loss, especially in the human being, we have so many examples. A roadsider becoming a crorepati, or a crorepati becoming a roadsider. So we don't know what value of a human being can be ascertained. And as we see that insurance is based on the value, that is the economic value identified, especially in case of a human being, no one can attach a value over a period of time for a particular human. And that's where this human life value concept given by Dr. Solomon Stephen Huebner is of great importance. It became a standard matter of calculating insurance value and need. The human life value is a measure of the economic loss to a family if the breadwinner of the family dies prematurely. And this is what has to be the sum assured which will take care of the family. The human life value, the insurance company tries to measure the economic loss of a person or how much the person is worth. So the person's value, the worth in monetary terms, can be ascertained with Dr. Huebner's formula. The loss is measured by capturing or capitalizing the present value of expected net earnings over the individual's economic lifetime. So we try to ascertain what income streams can be generated by this person, and based on that, what are the natural expenses you'll have to bear, and based on that, we can take help of Dr. Huebner's formula to actually calculate the human life value, and based on that we can easily calculate the sum assured of an insurance policy. Now, yet another concept of insurance is risk. What do you mean by risk? Because the risk creates the possibility of a loss, and this loss needs to be compensated, and hence for every asset we need to ascertain risk. But if we have to know risk, risk refers to the possibility of a loss due to certain event. The loss can be in the form of a damage to the asset, it can be disability due to an accident, or even untimely death of a person. Insurance is generally available for risk due to uncertain events. And that is what you have to keep in mind, because if there is a certainty of your event, then there is no question of risk. Only when there is an uncertainty of an event, the risk happens, and that is what is covered generally by insurance. Two most important concepts based on which the risk can be ascertained, and this is the peril and the hazard. What do you mean by peril? Peril refers to a specific situation which might cause a loss. Like earthquake can be a peril, earthquake can destroy the property. A storm or flood can also cause a destruction, cause a loss. And hence, what is insured is the risk. Perils are the risk insured. The risk that an individual will die during the term of the policy can be considered as a peril. Now you need to differentiate peril and hazard. If peril is risk causing, hazard can increase or decrease the peril. For example, if a person has a lung cancer, then smoking can be hazard and lung cancer can be a peril. So because of lung cancer, there can be a death. However, the death will happen faster if the person is a chain smoker, and that increases the chances of happening more severe lung cancer. Now, we have to further categorize hazards into two main categories: physical hazard and intangible hazard. Physical hazard is something which is because of physical conditions. This physical condition increases the chance of a loss in case of a physical hazard. Example, a defective construction in a building. Intangible hazard can be because of habits and attitude of a person. This can cause a chance of a loss. And if you have to give an example of an intangible hazard, consumption of alcohol, character defects can be good example of intangible hazard. Defective construction in a building can be good example of a physical hazard. Now, once we understand risk, what is a peril, what is a hazard, we go one step further. What exactly an insurance company does? Because different types of individuals will have different types of perils and hazard. So we cannot insure each type of risk, each type of hazard. So what does an insurance company do? Insurance company forms a pool of risk. And when we form a pool of risk, we can easily categorize the risk, and based on that risk, applicable to large number of people, we can easily decide the premium on it. Insurance companies create a different pool of risk so that premium can be collected from the policyholders based on the risk pool they belong to. Separate risk pools are maintained by insurance companies for different types of insurance, like life insurance, car insurance, home insurance, etc. And as soon as a claim arises, the insurance company pays the claim from the premiums, because the premiums are specifically deposited for that type of risk pool. It becomes easier from the insurance company point of view. It becomes easier from the insured point of view, because the insured get a clear premium to pay for buying that insurance. Another concept in insurance is a law of large numbers, because when we have to ascertain risk, we have to categorize risk, we have to know the possibility of a loss. And for understanding the possibility of loss, out of so many people, how many will be actually raising a claim, we take the help of law of large numbers. Insurance business runs on a basic principle that only few of the assets will suffer the loss, because all the assets might not suffer the loss, and accordingly the premium has to be collected in such a way that the few losses that are created would be compensated from the premium that is collected from all the risk pool. The principle of law of large numbers enables the insurance company to determine the possibility of the loss, and thus determine the number and amount of claim that will have to be settled. So this makes the life of an insurance company very easy, so that they collect the right premium from the entire people belonging to the risk pool, and they have sufficient corpus available with them for compensating all the loss that could happen with that risk pool. Now, just like we studied the different concepts of risk, peril, hazard, for large numbers, we should know, can insurance be bought by anyone, on behalf of anyone? This answer could be answered with a new concept called insurable risk. The device of insurance company covers only risks that are static and arising from unforeseen events. When we say static risk, these are risks arising from natural causes like fire, earthquake, death. However, dynamic risks are not insured. Dynamic risks arise from changes in environment such as people taste or economy and unemployment. So, in general, static risks are insurable, dynamic risks will not. Financial risk, pure risk, and particular risk are considered as insurable risk. What is financial risk? The outcomes of risk that can be measured in monetary terms, known as financial risk. For example, loss of life, disease, disability can be considered as causes of financial risk. Particular risk is specific. When we talk about particular risk, that is originally the individual events and its impact is felt locally on individuals or in community, so it may not be specifically seen globally. So specific individuals, specific communities, for example, theft of a property, damage by accidents, this can be considered as a particular risk. Now we come into the most important concept of insurance, that is pure risk. Pure risk are those risks where there is no possibility of making a profit, but there is a possibility of a loss or no loss. Possibility of loss, when there is a damage, and when there is no damage, you should be happy. You should not feel there is no loss. Insurance is bought for compensating the loss. If there is no loss, you should still be happy that you have not suffered any loss. So when we talk about pure risk, there is no possibility of making a profit, but there can be a possibility of a loss or no loss. For example, a car can meet an accident, or it may not meet an accident. If you meet an accident, the insurance company will compensate you the loss. But if you haven't met with an accident, you should be happy that you have not met with an accident and you don't have to lodge a claim for getting a compensation. If the accident does not happen, there is no gain to the insured. But still, he was prepared for meeting any eventuality of an accident. That is the most important aspect of an insurance. If the accident occurs, the insurance company will surely indemnify a loss, which otherwise he wouldn't have got it if he wouldn't have bought an insurance. Now, insurable pure risk, being static, can be classified into personal risk, property risk, liability risk. What is personal risk? Personal risk directly affects the individual's capability to earn income due to various reasons like premature death, sickness, disability, unemployment, and old age. What is property risk? Property risk can now cause damage or loss to the property in possession of a person. The losses may be direct, indirect, and even consequential. What is liability risk? Liability risk arising out of the intentional or unintentional injury to the persons or damages to their properties through negligence or carelessness. For example, liability of the employer under the Workmen Compensation Act or any other labor laws are good examples of liability risk. Now friends, once we got these basic concepts right, now since we have understood insurance is largely based on the risk, there can be different ways of managing the risk. So let us understand the basic concepts of risk management. Risk management involves identification, analysis, and economic control of those risks which can cause damage to the assets, which can ultimately culminate into loss. So note these three important points of risk management. First, you should know, identify what is the risk. Once you identify the risk, you should analyze it. Are you going to accept the risk, or you are going to transfer the risk, or you are going to reduce the risk? And finally, economic control of those risks, how big the hole in your pocket will happen because of such loss. So the basic objective behind risk management is to prevent the loss, control the loss, as well as transfer or even retain the loss. and we will have different names for that of risk management. Like if we have to prevent the risk, we'll have to avoid the risk, then the risk management becomes risk avoidance. For example, avoiding manufacture of a hazardous product. Obviously, there won't be any explosion, so no risk at all. Risk mitigation, but you can't survive without accepting the risk. Then what you do? You do risk mitigation, you can deploy a firefighting equipment. So even if the loss happens, the loss will be minimized because of quick action. If you don't want to take the risk, you can transfer the risk. The best example of transferring the risk is you buy an insurance policy. And finally, you feel that risk may not make a big impact on your business. The best way is to accept the risk. But this purely depends upon your risk appetite, to what extent you are capable of retaining the risk, which we call it as risk retention. Now, just like we said, pure risk are insurable, speculative risk are not. There is a possibility of a gain or loss in speculative risk. For example, gain or loss in purchase of shares from stock market. Speculative risk are not insurable. Gambling deals with speculative risk. Law prohibits the use of insurance for gambling and antisocial activities like fraud, murder. If this wouldn't have been there, then such activities would be on the rampant rise. Frauds would increase, murders would increase, and thereby making life difficult to live socially. And hence it has been wisely considered to keep out such gambling and speculative activities out of the risk, out of the insurable risk. Now we go into more detailed aspect of insurance and try to understand the essential elements of a valid insurance contract. Like when we say contract, the legislation is Indian Contract Act 1872, and it specifies certain essential elements like offer and acceptance, consideration, capacity to contract, free consent, objects permissible by law, contract should be capable of performance. So all these elements of a valid insurance contract should be identified and understood, because insurance is a contract and it fulfills the conditions of valid contract as per the Indian Contract Act. So we have to understand this step by step as to what is an offer, what is an acceptance, what is consideration and capacity contract, free consent, objects permissible by law, contract should be capable of performance. Then we can actually integrate our understanding of Indian Contract Act within the insurance business. Let me give you a practical example of an insurance contract so that these elements become more clear. Insurance company makes an offer to the insured to provide insurance. These offers are available through the products, brochures, whatever are read by the prospects. However, when the prospect decides to buy an insurance, he has to fill a proposal, and this proposal is sent to the insurance company, which needs to be accepted only then an insurance policy too. So we can clearly identify both the offer and acceptance into this transaction. However, the basis of this contract is the consideration that has to be paid, and this consideration comes in the form of premium that is paid by the insured to the insurance company. The contract can be executed by persons who are competent to enter into a contract. Example, a minor cannot enter into an insurance contract on his own. He has to get it done through his natural guardian. And hence, a person attaining majority can easily enter into such insurance contract. So, once again, as we saw in the previous slides, whatever insurance that is bought, that has to be for lawful purpose. You cannot buy an insurance for gambling or any other antisocial activities. So that's how we have established the basic elements that are required in a contract are also applicable in an insurance contract. Parties entering into the contract should enter by free consent. Now, what do you mean by free consent? It is not caused by coercion, undue influence, fraud, misrepresentation, or mistake. So whoever is the prospect has to understand first he what are the features, what are the needs, and he willingly should sign off the proposal form that amounts to free consent. The objective of the insurance company as well as the insured should be to create a legal relationship. When we say legal relationship, there are duties and responsibilities from the insured as well as from the insurer point of view. The contract must be capable of being performed by the insured as well as the insurance company. From the insured point of view, he should be capable of paying the premium. From the insurance company point of view, the insurance company should be solvent enough to pay the claims when they are raised by the insured. So this is how the all aspects, all the elements of contract are applicable in insurance contract also. Thank you.